pray that the veil between us and you would be lifted today. And Holy Spirit, you would continue to minister to us and fill us with your presence and open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts so calloused by this world to feel the tenderness of your presence, that we might behold the risen Savior. In Jesus' name and to your glory we pray. Amen. The Gospel of John actually begins the record of this day with the words, "It was still dark." Many of us know from being at and attending the Good Friday moment what these women have seen: the death of their Savior, the death of their Lord, the death of Jesus. They are going to the tomb early in the morning with spices, because it is the task and the job to take care of those of us who have died. And they're coming to do what needs to be done. It's part of the grieving. It's part of the remembrance. They couldn't do it night of Friday or yesterday on Saturday. It was Sabbath, and that kind of practice was not normative on Sabbath. They couldn't do it. And so they waited until morning, and it was still dark. And it was still dark, and they're going to the tomb. The eyes of these women are one of grief in remembrance of all that they've just seen. And to be able to go to that tomb and suddenly see that the stone had been rolled away, so confusing. And then to go and know that the body was taken, to know these two angels, just simply the brightness of glory, saying, "You are looking for the living among the dead. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Now go and tell. Go and tell the disciples." And the women, especially in the record of Matthew that we just heard, in the record of John, both times the women come and they behold the risen Lord. They see him in his glory. They fall before him. They grab his feet, because this is the literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they begin to worship him. And he sends them, "Go tell everybody. I will meet with them. Go tell everybody." And they did. Mary, out of her lips in the record of John, "I have seen the Lord." And here, he has not. He is risen from the dead. They went to tell the disciples. And as they did, the record of Luke says that they told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. And the disciples did not believe the women. They were still in the dark. In every sense of the word, they were still in the dark. And what I'd like to suggest to you today, that's my story too. I cannot tell you how many times I went to Easter services and I heard the story. I sang the songs of joy and I believed it. I actually knew growing up, I could say the creed, I could recite the things of what it meant to be a Christian. But there was a different principle that was governing my heart. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you've compartmentalized. You know one thing, but you live another. You know one thing, but what you're doing is completely different. And there was a principle that was governing me in those days. A principle that is strong and a principle that is mighty. I give to you for record the discourse in Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15, where it says that we who are in flesh and blood, Jesus also partook of the same, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. And listen to this, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Does the word slavery mean anything to you? It is bondage, it is captivity. And the captivity is the fear of death. Do you know anything about that? I can tell you, as a child, I knew this. I was in first grade when we were told that there were things called strangers in this world that we had to walk with. I had to walk with my sister to school holding her hand. just torture for a young boy. The reason I did that is because there are strangers, and strangers will approach you, and strangers can take you, and you've got to beware of them. And I had fear put in my heart. I was afraid I would never see my family again. I was afraid they would take me. I was afraid they would kill me. I remember nightmares. I remember being 7 years old and going to my parents. They were still up. I had woken up in a nightmare, in a sweat, because I feared that one of them was going to die. And I didn't want it. I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't believe it. By the time I turned 12 years old, I suffered to me what I've always called the worst disease I've ever known. And it might sound quite childish to you, but I find it not. It's called homesickness. It's what happens when you're not with the person you love. It's when you've been separated. It's been when you've been torn apart. And my family decided it was time to kick me out of the nest, for good or for bad. They did. They booted me one summer and told me to go have fun. And I just remember the weeping, the longing, the fear, the subject of slavery. That was me. I was so afraid that I was suddenly going to die. This is the thing about death. You don't have to get to your 90s to say, oh, I think it's time. It can happen at any time. Death is strong. Death is thunderous. And then it happened. When I had turned 16 years old, I stood at my mother's casket, who had died at the age of 45. My brother, my sister, they were older. They were off at college. My dad took a job over in Europe, and I was shifted off to some boarding school. My greatest fears, afraid to be alone, afraid not to have a home, afraid I was going to die. Is that you? Do you know anything about this? This principle was dominant in me, and it paralyzed me. I was scared, and now it was true. I say that by saying, I heard this story of Easter. I said I believed it, but inside the principle of death was too strong. The fear of death was too strong. And so today, I would like to look at the problem. I would like to look at the solution, and I would like to look at how to connect it to our hearts. The thing that's so beautiful about the Bible is that the Bible teaches us this was not God's design. He did not intend this for us. When he created all things perfect. He created all things beautiful, all things good, and he breathed in us life, his eternal life. In that great moment in the Garden of Eden, the way the Bible begins, the light of his glory, his life poured in us, and his love that filled our hearts. And yet, the plan was very clear that he gave us choice because of his love. And we have that choice today, to walk with him or not walk with him, to live for him or to live for ourselves. And you can see it all over the world today, people living for themselves. That choice is still in front of us. But the Lord made it very clear, if you choose to walk out, you're going to have to know that the light that you now know will become dark. The love that you now feel will become lust and desire and longing. And the life that you now have, the gift of life eternal, life immortal, my life in you, will become death. And so the sound in the garden was this: if indeed you rebel and go your own way, in the day that you do it, you will certainly die. But that wasn't his heart, and it's never been his passion. But he gave us the choice. And today, he still gives us choice. Choice to be able to respond to this. And yet, what we learn here is a very important principle he teaches that we must not miss. It is so simple, a child can understand this. There is a cause and effect relationship here. A cause and effect. And that cause is this, that when Adam sinned, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. There it is, it's cause and effect. Sin entered into the world, and death through sin. It's echoed again in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. There it is. Again, it's causal. You might say, well, why do people die? And the answer the Bible gives is very simple. the wages of sin. It's because of sin. Sin is actually the problem. And because of it, we die. That is foundational to the understanding of Scripture, this causal effect. And so therefore, it is not surprising to hear how the Scripture unwraps and tells the story of the Lord's passion to come and rescue us and save us and give us choice. The entirety of the Old Testament can be summed up in this theme, and it is the theme that He is sending to us, Messiah, that waiting for Messiah to come, Messiah, a Savior to come. And the Old Testament, through the Law and the Prophets, is going to teach us three fundamental principles of Messiah and of who He is and what He's come to do. First of all, the mystery of it all, that when He comes, God Himself will come. The Son of God will descend from heaven. A virgin will have a child, and that child's name will be Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on His throne shall reign the kingdom of peace, over the King of David with justice and with righteousness. He is coming who is fully God and yet going to be fully man. That's the mystery. This is who He is. Second, we learn very clear from the prophets that when He comes, He's got the task that the Father is going to lay upon Him the sin of us all. He's going to come and deal with the problem of sin. That's why He's coming, for the Lamb of God to come and have placed upon Him the sins of us all. That's Isaiah 53, verse 6. The Father lays upon Him our sin. And then, as you heard read in the Isaiah passage, extraordinary. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from their faces, and the reproach of His people He will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. He is coming to deal with the problem of sin. And when He does, He is going to swallow up death forever. That's the thunder of the Old Testament right there. He's coming for a purpose. Why is that? I'm going to tell you the end story. Listen to this. The end of 1 Thessalonians 5, He says, God has not destined us for wrath, but that we may obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. He wants us to be rescued. He wants us to be saved, and that's why Jesus came. How many of you know today what the name of Jesus means? What does His name mean? You'll find this in Matthew 1:21, lest you think I'm making this up. You will name Him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. He will save His people from their sins. He's coming to rescue us, and He's coming to take our sins upon Him. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he saw Jesus and said, that right there, that's the Lamb of God. That right there, He's come to take away the sin of the world. That's why He's come. He's come to deal with the problem. And the problem isn't His, it's ours. We deserve to die. It's us. We deserve the judgment. We deserve the hell. And yet what He's saying is, I love you so much, I'm coming to do this myself. You say, is this all religion, all theory? Well, let's go back to Friday. There is nothing theory about this. Let's go back to Thursday night when the Father did this moment in Gethsemane, this moment when Jesus, our Lord, said, please let this cup pass, and yet not my will be done, but Your will be done. And Jesus said, yes. And He who knew no sin, though tempted in all places, yet without sin, though He knew no sin, He became sin for us, for you and for me. When He goes to Calvary, my friends, this is the single moment of all time when He's going to Calvary and bearing it all upon His own body. And that's how the Scriptures resound. Listen to the sound of it from 1 Peter 2. He Himself bore our sin in His body on the tree. That's what he's done. And then he said the words like, he said the words that changed everything. He said the words, it is finished. It is finished. I've done it. And you say, how do we know he's done it? How do we know? How do we know this? Cause and effect. It's the wages of sin that leads to death. On Calvary's hill, those wages were paid in full. Thank you, Lord. What happens 3 days later? Death has no power. They've gone to the tomb, and the angels are like, what are you doing? He told you this. He's done the work, and now, this is the point of it. He didn't just come to rise from the dead. He came to destroy the power of death. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. That's what he's come to do. That's what he's come to do. The slavery and the bondage that we've known. Do you not understand? This is why Jesus, some people say this all the time. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Do you know where he wept? At the tomb of Lazarus. Do you know why he wept? Because death hurts. You can gather all your possessions. You can get a big bank account. You can write your obituary and tell us all the great things that you did while you were here. There is nothing more important in life than having each other. He puts us into family. And what does death do? Death rips us apart. It rips us apart. This is why he's come. So that death can no longer have its say, can no longer have its moment with us, can no longer thunder and say, you are mine. The answer is no. Listen to how Jesus says it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is the gift he's come to give. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 1:10. That he was revealed to us, the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. That when you accept Christ today, you already begin the gift of eternal life now. That's the gift he's come to bring. When John saw Jesus our Lord, the glorified Lord, on the island of Patmos, he fell down like a dead man, and Jesus our Lord came to him. He stretched out his hand. He put his hand on John, and he said, John, oh, I love this. I need to hear this over and over again. John, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys. Listen to this. I have the keys of death and Hades. That bully who has ruled over us has no more power in Jesus Christ because he triumphed. That's why the Bible rings out. It's the last sound we'll do today. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to set us free. And when you see Jesus alive, when you know him for yourself as a Savior and Lord, all you want to do is tell people about him. His heart, his passion, his desire is that we not perish, but that we have the gift of eternal life. And so out the disciples went, calling, repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the call today. It's always been the call to come to Christ, to know what he's done for us, and to receive him into our life. And I have to say to you, that was really hard for me because I didn't get it. I didn't make the connect. When I was in university days, I was still wallowing in this horrible moment of grief and loss in my life. I can still remember I self-medicated, not on the fun stuff that people medicate on, I medicated on a thing that maybe some of you might know is the medication of busy. I took more courses than anybody should do. I made sure that I couldn't feel inside. I just kept pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. And the Lord sent somebody to me and said, you and I need to talk. Because he saw inside of me the hurt and the loss and the pain. And he gave me his testimony. He told me he too had been like me in church all my life and didn't get it. He said, I went and I worshiped a dead Savior, but I soon found that he was alive. And I came to Christ, and I was taught to put my trust in him, and I now have a living Savior. He said to me, you too can have a living Savior. And then he took me to church, and I saw on the faces of others that Jesus was indeed alive to them, personal, in a relationship with them. And I said, I want this. And so we sat down, we put this little booklet, this little track in your bulletins today from J.I. Packer. And you'll find at the end of it a prayer. And this friend prayed a prayer just like that for me, a time to acknowledge my sins, to be able to repent and think and push away the things I was doing that was offensive to God in my life. And he taught me to put my trust in Christ, to receive the forgiveness of my sins. And then he said to me, I want you just to wait. I just want you to wait upon the Lord, because one day you're going to find out that it's not in your head anymore. The Lord's going to come and move in your heart. And you're going to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, alive for you. Amen. And that day, I waited. I tried to do it on my own. That sort of didn't work. It never does work. But then one day I knew. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? When that happens, two things happen. One, you come alive and the Spirit of God begins to witness inside of you that you're a child of God. And the second thing is, you're now surrounded in a new family. And I need that new family. Because how many of you know, I still trigger. I was on a plane about 2 weeks ago, and we were going through this major thunderstorm, which was really not a blessing at all. And I don't know if you've ever been in this motion. And you, I'm sure you think that the pilot's happy, but this anxiety just welled up inside of me. I could feel the sweat coming off. I could feel the memories of people I've lost in my life. I still have a passage from my dad, who was on a plane just like that, and they said that the plane was malfunctioning. They'd have to go into a crash landing. So my dad took the end of his Bible, and he wrote a message to my brother, my sister, and me. And he said, I'm sorry I'm going so soon, but we will see each other because we know Jesus. His plane survived. My plane survived. Sometimes that fear of death comes crawling back. But I surround myself with those people I love to pray for me, and I pray for them. We hold on to the promises of Jesus. And the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that there's a grace to come, that when it's time for us to close our eyes, when it's time for us to close our eyes, we shall open them in the glories to come. An evangelist said in the 19th century, he said this. He says, you're going to hear one day that I am dead. And he said, don't you believe it for a minute. He says, I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been before. My friend, is that you? Do you know Christ as your Savior on this Easter day? As the connect happened, do you know what Jesus has done for you? And if you do, celebrate. Delight in this, because we get to live this life and tell everybody we know what he's done for us. Lord, I give my heart to you. Give my heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen.